Paul's Gospel in the Song of Solomon by Alice S. Mooneyhan. Preface. It was amazing to me when I realized that the truth which is revealed in Paul's epistles is hidden in the Song of Solomon. When the Jewish rabbis met together to decide which books to include in the Holy Scriptures, there was a controversy over this book, whether it should be included or not. When it was put to a vote, there was one vote more in favor of than against including it in the Scriptures. That is the way the Song of Solomon has been included in the Holy Scriptures. It is not strange that they could not understand this book, because the truth it contains was hidden until the time of its fulfillment. To the Apostle Paul was given the revelation concerning the church and her espousal to Christ. This book is precious to us since we have learned from the epistles of Paul that the Holy Spirit is preparing a bride for God's Son. Those of us who have chosen to go with this man, Genesis 24:58, have found this book to be very precious because we see our own experiences portrayed in its pages. We can find a rich pasture in the Song of Solomon by trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to our hearts. Alice S. Mooneyhan. Divisions in the Book of Song of Solomon. The chapters of the Song of Solomon roughly agree with the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon agrees with the Book of Romans. Chapter 2 agrees with 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3 with 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 with Ephesians. Chapter 5 with Philippians. Chapter 6 with Colossians, and the end of Song of Solomon 6 gives 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 7, all of the truth of these epistles is summed up in Song of Solomon chapter 7, and chapter 8 agrees with 2 Thessalonians. There are 5 divisions in this book called canticles or songs. They do not agree exactly with the divisions given above. Division 1, Canticle 1, the Heavenly Courtship, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 7. Division 2, Canticle 2, the Dispensational Aspect, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8 through chapter 3, verse 11. Division 3, Canticle 3, In the Heavenlies, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 1. Division 4, Canticle 4, Christ the Prize, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2 through chapter 6, verse 13. And Division 5, Canticle 5, the Consummation, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 14. Division 1, Canticle 1, the Heavenly Courtship, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 7. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, Song of Solomon 1, verse 1. Most of us know something about the history of Solomon, mainly that he had 1,000 wives, but there is something else that we overlook. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 tells us that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Song of Solomon is prophecy in type. It's prophetic of God's purpose, which began to be fulfilled through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This writing by King Solomon was inspired by the Spirit of God. It is not concerned primarily with Solomon's courtship of his beautiful lover, but is prophetic of the courtship of Christ, the heavenly courtship, as it has been called. It is true that this was possibly based upon Solomon's love for the Shulamite, the fair maiden that was in the court of David, but that is not what the book really consists of. It is the words of our heavenly lover to us. It is spoken to us if we have ears to hear. And as we read, I believe we will hear the voice of our beloved speaking to us out of this little book. Solomon was a prolific songwriter. He wrote 1,005 songs. This one, which is called the Song of Songs, is the only one preserved in the Bible by the Lord for our edification. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Song of Solomon 1, verse 2. There are two thoughts in this verse that are outstanding. The identity of the one called him, There is only one man for whom our soul yearns, the man Christ Jesus, and the identity of the one speaking. This speaker is the one who has come to the place where she cries out with longing for the lover of her soul. She represents the heart that is weary of this world. She longs for a token of his personal affection. This courtship began when she expressed her longing for a token of his affection. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2. This longing was satisfied when she received the anointing with the Spirit. This was the kiss which satisfied her, a very positive sign of his love for her. This word kiss has a peculiar meaning, to equip with weapons. When she has been kissed, then she knows that he loves her and she is able to face the world of contestants, those that are contesting with her for his love. Another meaning of the word kiss is covered. She is covered with the assurance of his love. That is truly what this means. She longs for this close fellowship. She longs for assurance. She longs for him. It is only through the anointing with the Holy Spirit that we come into the closest fellowship with the Lord. The Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. He reveals the truth of the Scripture to our heart. He guides us into all truth. It is only through the knowledge of the truth that we are loosed from earthward tendencies and are enabled to appropriate the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies which have been given to us in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Perhaps some of us have had the experience of his love being better than wine. After we were saved, we went on with the Lord for a while and everything seemed bright. Gradually, things began to go wrong and we became miserable. Life did not seem as bright as it did at first. We found that the things of this life disappointed us. Maybe we were seeking pleasure or money or success, but even if we found these things, they did not satisfy. Wine is a figure of everything in this world that people indulge in to gratify their desires, but their hearts are left with an empty longing. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. This actually seems to intimate that she has now been anointed with the Holy Spirit. The word ointment means anointing and is akin to the word unction and refers to power. Jesus Christ was born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and it was said to her, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke 1:35. When he came to manhood, he was anointed with the Spirit. After his anointing, he ministered in the power of the Spirit. In everything he did, he was led of the Spirit. The Spirit of God led him, taught him, and revealed the truth to his heart, even as he does us. In Matthew 1, we read that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is only through the Holy Spirit's power that we are convicted of our need of salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but this name of Jesus, Acts 4 verse 12. The power of that name is expressed in Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore do the virgins love thee. In this book we notice several different groups of people. The virgins represent those who will be guests at the wedding in the air, the 144,000 out of Israel, the third rank in the church. The early Christian church was made up of believers out of Israel who were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They will be in the same rank as the 144,000 of the end time. But after Paul's revelation, the Gentiles were included in the church. The greater revelation was given to Paul for the Gentile believers, although the Jews are not excluded from being in this group, which is represented by this woman that we are studying about now. This does not exclude anyone in this church age. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us. Draw me, we will run after thee. The King hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Song of Solomon 1 verse 4. It is always the Holy Spirit who draws sinners to the Lord for salvation and who draws the saints on to seek the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It is only as the Lord works in our lives, transforming us by His power, that we are able to overcome the attractions of this earth. We have no power in ourselves to overcome the world, the flesh, or the devil. But when we receive a revelation of Christ and our gaze is turned upward, then we will run after Him. By our upward gaze, we cause others to look up. By our separation unto the Lord, others are drawn to the things of God. The King hath brought me into His chambers. Through the anointing with the Spirit, she has been brought into a place of intimate fellowship with the King. We will be glad and rejoice in Thee. We will remember Thy love more than wine. The love of Christ is greater than any love of this earth. It goes beyond the love of any other and satisfies the heart which nothing else can do. The upright love Thee. This is true. Everyone that loves God loves Jesus Christ. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Song of Solomon 1 verse 5. This verse sets forth the teaching given in the book of Romans concerning the two natures in the believer. We can never overcome the desires of the flesh until we receive a revelation of this truth. Many Christians have a desire to do the will of God, but find it impossible in their own strength. I am black as the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael, a grandson of Hagar. Hagar, of course, represents the covenant of law. As long as we endeavor to keep the law in order to save or perfect ourselves, we will find that the law continually condemns us and shows up our failures, how black we are. The Apostle Paul learned this truth as stated in Romans 7, verses 19 and 20. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Comely as the curtains of Solomon. The inward man delights in the law of God. It is only as we identify ourselves with Christ by faith in His death and resurrection that we overcome the tendencies of the flesh and are able to walk in the Spirit. The daughters of Jerusalem are identical with the virgins of Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. At the conference in Jerusalem recorded in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas came up to Jerusalem to confer with the apostles and elders in the church there. Some had come from Jerusalem to Antioch, teaching the Gentiles, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." The whole church agreed that salvation is by grace alone and not by the works of the law. But later, when Paul came to Jerusalem, the apostle James stated, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." Acts 21 verse 20. This shows the difference in the attitude of the kingdom group and those who had a revelation of Paul's gospel, which teaches that we are saved by grace alone and not by the works of the law. "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Song of Solomon 1 verse 6. "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me." As soon as she received the Holy Spirit, then her mother's children wanted her to start working for the Lord. They urged her to go out and get people saved. Most people think that service for the Lord is paramount. There is nothing wrong with service, but there is another place for this woman of destiny. She needs to get better acquainted with her beloved, not go out into service first. Although Paul preached in the synagogue as soon as he was saved, setting forth that Christ is the Son of God, yet he was led of the Spirit into Arabia, where he received a deeper revelation. Later, he was shut away from service in a Roman prison where he received the greatest revelation of spiritual truth. So, this woman, having gone out into the vineyard where she was tested under the heat of the sun, became aware more than ever of her need of being with the Lord. If ever a person finds that he needs more of the Lord, more of His word, and more of His strength, it is when he goes out to minister unto others. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. This reminds us of Martha, who complained to the Lord about Mary because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus learning of him. Martha wanted her to get up and get busy and help her prepare a meal for Jesus. That was a commendable thing, but there is something better. Jesus commended Mary because she had chosen that good part, which he said would not be taken away from her. The mother's children represent the second rank in the body of Christ. Most of us are familiar with the ranks in the church. That is the reason I call your attention to these different ranks. I think you will enjoy the book better by knowing who these different groups represent. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. She was busy out in the vineyard trying to get people saved, doing what the others told her to do, service that did not satisfy her. She longed for closer fellowship with the Lord. She had been too busy to care for her own vineyard. Uninterrupted service often hinders our communion with the Lord. Once Jesus said to his disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while," Mark 6:31. Proverbs 24 verses 30 through 32 give us a picture of a neglected vineyard. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. There are two extremes. One, going out and working so that we do not have time to have communion with the Lord, and two, taking it easy. Either one will rob us of that sweet communion that we need with the Lord continually. So we can take warning by this. Neglect of the fellowship of the Lord will really bring us to spiritual poverty. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 24 verses 33 through 34. There is nothing in the world so important as continual fellowship with the Lord. Then we will be instant in season, out of season. 1 Timothy 4:2. We will be ready for any service or work if we are always in tune with the Lord. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Song of Solomon 1 verse 7. Now we have a little change here, and it shows the result of neglect of fellowship with the Lord. She had been in his chambers in fellowship with him. The next thing is that we see her out in the vineyard working in the hot sun and weary, then coming in and taking it easy, too easy. King David did this at the time when kings went out to war, 2 Samuel 11:1. That was his undoing. This verse reveals that she has lost contact with her beloved. We can do the very same easily if we neglect our daily communion with the Lord. I do not mean that we lose our salvation, but we lose that intimacy that we may have with the Lord all the time. She expresses her desire, her longing, to know where he is and to have fellowship with him. As soon as she voiced the cry of her heart, she received the answer, although it was enigmatical. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Song of Solomon 1 verse 8. In reply to her longing for rest and fellowship, she is told to keep close to the flock and the shepherd's tents, not to wander away. It is a good thing to keep close to the shepherd's tents. The shepherds can help us, lead us, teach us, and show us the way. If we have lost contact or fellowship with the Lord, they can bring us back into that fellowship through the Word. There is a little point here that I want to mention about the kids. Feed thy kids. In Leviticus, the burnt offering should be a bullock, or a lamb, or a goat, or a turtle dove. I believe there is a thought in this that as she takes in the word, as she learns the word from the shepherds, she will be prepared to offer a burnt offering a little later on. She is not able to do this at the beginning of this courtship because the burnt offering expresses complete devotedness to the will of God. The burnt offering aspect of Christ was his devotedness to his Father's will, even devotedness unto death. Eventually, this woman comes to that place where she also can offer up herself as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 2, verse 1. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Philippians 3, verse 15. He looks on the heart. If our heart is really reaching out for the Lord, he will see to it that we learn the way. We will come back into that sweet communion. Complete consecration. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Francis R. Havergal, in Laudis Domini. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Song of Solomon 1, verse 9. This is a wonderful comparison when we understand what it means. Chariot horses are stately. They are beautiful, they are docile and gentle, and they are disciplined. Here is another thing. Do you remember Rebecca? She was already disciplined when Eliezer came to her. She fulfilled everything that he had prayed concerning her. She was willing to water the camels. Pharaoh's horses have been trained for this very purpose, to pull these chariots. I have read of chariot horses being so well trained that when the driver gets out of the chariot and lays the reins down, the horses stand so still that they appear to be just statues. They do not move a muscle. They stand there until the driver gets back into the chariot, and then, like a flash, away they go. I understood what that meant one day when I was listening to someone preach here in the meeting. The saints were as still as they could be all the time during the sermon. But after the sermon, they went wild praising the Lord. It just reminded me of this verse. When the Lord says, go, we are all ready to go. We are ready to praise the Lord with a loud voice. But we can sit as still as those horses could stand. We do sometimes sit too still. A company of horses implies that the bride is not one person. She is a company of people. However, this courtship is an individual experience. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Song of Solomon 1, verse 10. These are decorations that the Lord puts upon us. We have a scripture from Ezekiel speaking about Israel, how the Lord decorated her with his favors, his blessings. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Ezekiel 16, verses 11 through 13. Isn't that precious and sweet concerning Israel? And they were only a typical people. Their blessings were natural and national. How much more gloriously has the Lord decorated the bride company. She is decked with spiritual things. The blessings that Israel had were only a shadow of the spiritual blessings with which the Lord ornaments his people. Peter said, "The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." 1 Peter 3, verse 4. That is the way the Lord ornaments us today, with a meek and quiet spirit. In Proverbs, we read more of this ornamentation. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Now we understand what those ornaments are. We are to hear the word of the Lord. That is what will decorate and ornament us. Oh, may the Lord give us hearing ears. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Song of Solomon 1:11. Gold speaks of deity and silver speaks of redemption. I believe it means that we will honor him, we will praise him, and we will be an ornament for him. It is praise because of his deity and for his redemption. That is, because he became a man. We ornament the Lord by our worship and praise of him. Although he was the Son of God, yet he became a man that he might redeem us from our sins. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Song of Solomon 1, verse 12. This verse speaks of worship. This reminds us of Mary when she poured the oil of spikenard upon the head of Jesus Christ, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. John 12, verse 3. Mary was a figure of the bride of the Lamb, whose worship of the Lord will fill the whole heaven with the odor of her adoration. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. Song of Solomon 1:13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Song of Solomon 1:13. This speaks of suffering with Christ and of the reproach which comes from walking with the Lord. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8:17 and 36. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:5. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. 2 Corinthians 4:10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:10. Myrrh is the key to the meaning of Song of Solomon 1:13, because it is always connected with sorrow and suffering. It seems to have been a custom of the women of that time to carry a bundle of myrrh between the breasts, or to hang it around the neck as a chain. It was worn as a token of suffering. This is what it means to us, suffering with Christ. We learn to welcome suffering. Why? Because suffering for Christ brings great good into our lives. We remember when the disciples were persecuted for Jesus' sake, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts 5:41. The Apostle Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. 2 Corinthians 12:10. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Song of Solomon 1:14. The word camphor, redemption, is the key to this verse. It is the same word as the word used in Genesis 6:14, where the Lord told Noah to build an ark and to pitch it within and without with pitch, that is, to cover the seams in the boat so that it would be waterproof. That ark, of course, was a figure of Christ. This word, which is used here for camphor, also has the meaning of covering. It means that Christ is our redemption. He is our salvation. He is our covering. We can rejoice in him. This seems to have been another custom of holding up a cluster of the camphor plant in the hand as a symbol of something that they understood. To us, it means redemption. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. That is, salvation for our body as well as for our soul. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Song of Solomon 1:15. This is the beloved speaking. Dove's eyes symbolize discernment by the Holy Spirit. They are far-seeing, even as the eyes of the homing pigeon, which finds its way home from a distant, far distant point. In Ephesians 1, Paul prayed that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer will be answered concerning the bride of Christ. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, also our bed is green. Song of Solomon 1:16. She speaks to her beloved, our bed is green. This symbolizes fellowship in resurrection. The Oriental custom was to recline at the table while eating, Esther 7 verse 8. Eating expresses fellowship. The color green represents resurrection. We are identified with Christ both in His death and resurrection, as Paul states in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is only in resurrection that we can have fellowship with the Lord, who hath quickened us together with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Song of Solomon 1:17. Evergreen trees speak of long duration. Houses that are built of these timbers will endure for many, many years. Our union with Christ will be eternal. Our house is built on the rock. Here is a wonderful verse. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews 2:14. It is said that there is a worm which eats into the cedar, but the oil of the cedar kills the worm. This story corresponds with the verse quoted above. The devil had power over death. He brought death upon us, but through death he was destroyed. Oh, praise the Lord!